Reiner Schock from TSN joins us. Schocker, how you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you today?
Good. Are you still smarting from Derek Van Dees crushing you on Twitter last night? That was probably one of the best chirps I'd heard in a while.
I don't know. I mean, I think he took it in the chin pretty good too. I think it was a draw.
If it was a tilt, I would say that might have been the kind of, you know, that end blow at the end of it. You were like, oof, that was a good one.
No. There was a shot by me. There was a shot by him.
Well, we were ranking it from the outside.
Ourselves off. Up yeah. and moved on. Yeah.
Well, we were, because the first period was so boring, we were debating it amongst us on the other side of the press box, and we gave the decision to Van Dees.
Really?
So, yeah, so you'll have to come back better next time. So.
Huh.
Hey, we need to be entertained, okay? If the game's not doing it early on, then you should start doing it.
Well, are you going to tell people what was said?
Well, I just remember his punchline because he was talking.
Oh, so you don't even remember my shot.
Well, because
you didn't give me any credit for the initial salvo.
Well, I didn't think it was that good. If I don't remember it, I just remember the
kind of
the end blow.
Anybody, we're talking about Derek Van Dees, the Edmonton Sun. Go look at his avatar on Twitter.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
hilarious. He's holding a hockey stick and he has sunglasses on.
Yeah,
and you know, Derek does a great job writing for the Sun, but he's a soccer guy, so we always bug him about being a soccer guy writing hockey. So the comment I made was, did it feel awkward picking up a hockey stick for the first time in your life for that photo shoot? And then his response was, well, you can explain his response if you remember it so well.
No,
well,
his
that was uncalled for.
His response, oh my God, it was so good. Like, it was something basically along the lines, we didn't have a junior team in Edmonton in my day that needed a local player to fill out the fourth line roster spot. Referencing your time in the Dub 30 games in Kamloops. Boom! And I was like, oh, decision. Funny.
Yeah, no, he slapped me pretty good back. It was
all it's funny. Hey, I like both. I like both chirps. Yours was good, too. We chuckled out loud reading his. So.
No, it was good. And then it was funny. I saw him downstairs. We both started laughing immediately. You see these little wars on Twitter where people have after it, and I've never understood it, but a little fun is nothing wrong with a little fun here and there.
Have to. The game last night, Ryan, started very slow and was very quiet. There was a lot of empty seats at Rexall Place, and I understand why. People are frustrated for sure. And, you know, the Grammys are going on. As Mark Mageau pointed out, there was a big WWE wrestling event on that and the Pro Bowl. So, you know, it's hard to compete with those three events. But, you know, the Oilers, they did come on their power play. But I want to talk about their defense moving the puck. That made a significant difference. We haven't seen it a lot this year. But last night, and we've ripped on the defense a lot, but last night they moved the puck up maybe better than I'd seen in a month.
Well, kept it pretty simple too, didn't they? That's the thing. They didn't get too fancy with it. They didn't overhandle it. It was like they got it on their stick and goal number one, just move it fast. And I thought they did a pretty good job of it. I thought Marinson had a good game last night. You know, Petrie had a couple of blunders that drove me a little nuts, but he had a pretty good night last night as well. And without Ferentz, a watered-down blue line was already watered down a lot more, and they actually ended up showing pretty well for themselves. So, yeah, I think one of the things that I've said throughout this is it's hard to evaluate this forward group when the blue line is as weak as this blue line is. It's almost unfair to evaluate the forwards in a lot of circumstances because they're not getting the puck with any kind of speed. They're not getting the puck with any kind of consistent accuracy. So it's tough to judge them too harshly. And I think that last night is a good indication of what the forward group can do if they get the puck on their sticks with regularity. And that's why you need to improve the decor so that the forwards aren't working from behind to begin with because they're not getting tape-to-tape passes in full stride.
Justin Schultz's overall game has the biggest change, really, Ryan, is just it's calmed down. Right, he's not a jitterbug like he was. I see him, and it might sound strange because we're all about motion all the time, but I actually see him a lot more static in the defensive zone now, and he's not getting himself out of position by trying to feel like he has to move rather than just say, you know what, I'm going to let the play come to me rather than always trying to go toward the play.
I don't know that anybody was more turned inside out by a new defensive system than Justin Schultz. I think in his second season here. Like, I don't think that anybody was turned confused more by this idea of a swarm than him. And I think that it got him behind the eight ball early, got him out of his what came instinctually to him. And now that Dallas Eakins has backed off of this strategy quite a bit. It's allowed him to settle in. People need to remember how new to into the NHL this guy still is. He's still so new. And, you have to judge him like he's a rookie, basically. And his game has settled down a lot. But I think it's because they've simplified their system. And I think that really messed with him early on in the year, probably more than anybody else.
Yeah, and that's fair. It's also a guy who had only played 48 games.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, and I think the
48 games in two different defensive systems.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's no good.
Yes, the thing about Schultz's game that I think should give Oilers fans hope for the future. I know they're sick of that word. Is that he's been able to calm his defensive game down and not at any sort of limitations to his offensive numbers.
Yeah, I think he's going to get his power play time, so he's going to produce. I don't see him jumping really far up into the rush as significantly as maybe he did before. I feel like he's maybe dialed that back a little bit. But I agree. He's still thinking offense quite often out there. And it's got to be a combination, right? If you're going to try and lock it down in your own zone, that's probably going to come at a little bit of a price. But for Justin, it's a careful balance because he is there to be an offensive defenseman. So here he is with, 26, 27 points in 48 games. That's a pretty good clip for a defenseman to be putting up points in his first 70 games in the league. So, yeah, he's showing well. I still think that the defensive side is where the offense to me is going to come for this guy because that's where his skill set lies. But, I think he needs to be allowed to run on instinct a little bit more. He showed a great stick in the first year, showed some real nice ability to separate guys from the puck with a good stick, and he's getting back to some of that now. He just looks a little bit less confused and a little bit more running on instinct again.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joined us. Do you think there's a market for Nick Schultz at all? Do you think he gets dealt at the deadline?
I think that if you're picking up Nick Schultz, you're probably picking him up as a sixth, seventh, or eighth defenseman. So he'd be a depth pickup. I think worse players have been traded at the deadline than Nick Schultz. So, there might be a market out there for him. There might be somebody that wants to pick him up just because he's been around a little while and is a veteran and does things the right way as a pro. So, I could see somebody. I don't know who. It's tough to know who might be interested in that exactly, but I don't think it's going to be a big market. And you're not going to get anything higher than fourth or fifth rounder for him.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get that, right?
Yeah, no, so sure.
It would just be about moving the player.
Yes. Because I don't see any way he's re-signing here. All right, and I'm not sure the Edmonton Oilers re-sign him, so I'm pretty sure that's a guy who gets moved.
Yeah, and move him along. I mean, if they don't trade him, it's not the end of the world, though, because he's a veteran guy. He's been around a while. He's not, there's a lot of nights where I don't think he needs to be an every night guy, but I don't think he's necessarily hurting them either. He's not their biggest problem right now, and they are going to need people to put on the jersey for the rest of the year after the, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're going to need players to take them to the finish line. So unless you absolutely want to guarantee you have Belov in the lineup every night, or if Klefbom comes up and you've got him and Marinchin in the lineup, Schultz is an option for an NHL defenseman, albeit a number six at best, to get you to the finish line. They're going to need guys to get them to the finish line this year. And so if they keep Nick Schultz, it's not the end of the world.
Well, yeah, they keep him down the stretch. I would look at it. You move a guy like Nick Schultz, you could bring up Klefbom for three games. You could bring up Fadoon for three games. Not much longer than that. Just give them a little bit of a taste. I don't see it being a big issue.
Well, at some point, Klefbom's got to get up here and get playing some games. They need to kind of have a bit of a – give him a little bit of a taste for it. And I understand not wanting to bring him to a negative situation, but sorry, that's the way it's going to have to be. He's not – if you're waiting until you're a winning organization to bring your kids in, then you probably don't need him anyway. Like, he needs to get here and start being part of the solution. And so the way to do that is to get him a taste this year and get him integrated a little bit this year, give him an idea of what he's up against from the standpoint of let him understand how much he needs to learn. I think they need to get this player in here and get him playing a little bit.
See, I'm not sure why, if I agree with that. Why? I you know, Duncan Keith never did it. Petrangelo didn't do it. Like, if you're about developing the guy, I don't know if two games in the NHL really are that much of a difference in the long-term development of a player.
Oh, I don't think – I'm not talking two games. I think Klefbom needs to come in and
but
play.
If he's not ready, why games. Do you have to rush him? If he's not ready
– I don't know that he's not ready. Why do we think that he's not ready? If he's as good as he's supposed to end up being – he's back in his groove. The injury's passed him. He's starting to play more now. I know he was nicked up recently, but apparently he's better and starting to play more now. I mean, Marinchin is here. He would fit. I mean, it's not like he would be completely out of place on this decor. I think you need to give him a little bit of a sense of what he's got in front of him.
Yeah, I get.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because Marinchin and Todd Nelson said, you know, Marinchin last year struggled really heavily at the start of the season, then came on in the second half and matured and built on that. And he said Klefbom was a healthy scratch, Ryan, only, you know, before he got injured. So yeah. To me, if you're a healthy scratch in the AHL, just because you play five good games, I don't think it's like, okay, now you got to rush the guy in here just to see. And because if Oscar Klefbom does not play 10 games at the end of the season in meaningless games for the Oilers, I really don't think that has any impact on his long-term outcome for the Edmonton Oilers. And whether he's supposed to be good in the future, like this guy didn't play much hockey last year. He's only played 30 games this year. I don't see any reason to rush the guy. I'd rather let him get comfortable, have some confidence. You might give him one or two games, but really that's all I would. Give him a taste and then let him go back to the American League. Hopefully they make the playoffs. Let him play some higher intense games and then go from there. I don't see, because I've looked at it many years before. Teams have brought up guys late in the year. And then that never really spurred them on to being great players. If you're going to be great, he's going to be great either way, whether he plays 10 games here or not.
Yeah, for sure. But I think the intention is to have this player be part of things moving forward. And I think that, again, I'm not watching him play every night, so I don't know. I can't look at the player and say, yes, he's ready, he should be here. But in terms of where he fits in this mix, so you've got Marinchin here playing regular shifts and playing well. You've got likely a trade or two coming and some spots to fill. I don't think it hurts to get him in here and get him a little bit of a look, get him a little bit of a taste, because I think he needs to see and experience it almost as motivation for the off season to understand. Like, I think you need to wet the palate a little bit for this guy and make sure he understands how far he has to go, how much he has to learn, how hard he needs to work. But I do think that if he's playing well enough, I mean, obviously, if he's a healthy scratch regularly, then it's not going to happen. But if his game gets to the point where he's playing well and he's playing decent minutes, and I think it's important for them to give him a little bit of a taste this year just to understand. I think he's waited a while and he's had some tough luck. And I think that, look, this isn't some decor that he's going to have a hard time cracking. They had that Hunt kid up here. He fit into this mix. I don't think they're going to destroy Klefbom by putting him out there for a few games. I like the idea of them showing him what it's about for a few games before the season comes to an end. But that's just me.
Would you have played the odds and gone with Breezgalov, where the odds says you don't go goalies back to back, or would you have rolled the dice and went with Scrivens tonight?
I would have rolled the dice with Scrivens. Yeah, I don't like the fact that he's starting Breezgalov tonight. I don't. The numbers are the numbers, and there's some times where you have to pay close attention to them, and there's some times where I think you just got to throw the numbers in the garbage. I think they're trying to learn something about Ben Scrivens in this short period of time they have him. And good goalies around the league go back-to-back. It happens. It's not uncommon. So why not take the opportunity to learn if the kid can put good games together back-to-back? Why not? This is a test subject. This is a test study. So Dallas is going with the numbers. It gives them the best chance at winning. It's an either-or. 50-50. Nobody would have batted an eye if he would have said, yeah, Scrivens played real well, decided to come back with him.
Yeah.
Well, the number crunchers would have said, wow, that's blah, 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 blah.
Well, actually, you know what's funny? There's a gentleman by the name of Eric T. who does a lot of stuff on goaltenders, and they say that usually, you know, if the goalie's average is, let's say you're a 920, say, percentage goalie, usually then on back-to-back nights, you become a 900. On average, there's that much of a drop. Okay, and so that's what I'm saying. Scrivens is right now a 930, so even with 20, he'd go to 910, while Breezgalov's 901. He still, even if you play all what the stats show, he still would be a better play.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with the stats either, because they can paint a little bit of a picture, but does it take into account the fact that you got a D-Corp playing in front of you that's just played last night as well and how tired they might be? So what happens if you got a fatigued D-Corp in front of you that's, you know, giving up more through the middle? Well, now the shots coming at you are harder. Maybe it's a way harder night for the goaltender on the second night. And while the save percentage might not be great, maybe he's having to fight off a lot more shots or a lot more difficult shots. The numbers just don't account for, unless there's a massive, insane discrepancy that makes it just stupid to do anything otherwise. But what for a 0.2 different percent, for that much difference, I wanted to see what Ben Scrivens could do in back-to-back nights. I wanted to see it. I thought he played well last night. I thought he battled through a game where he had some traffic in front of him. I thought he had one of his best performances as an Oiler. What a great opportunity to see what he's capable of in back-to-backs. But Dallas is erring on the side of what he thinks gets his team the win, and I get that. But I think it's a missed opportunity to learn something about a guy they're trying to get a book on.
Yeah, I don't mind, especially the way Breeze-Gallas played. He has stunk in 2014. He absolutely stunk.
Exactly. And, so you know, why? I don't understand this. And I think there were a couple of times where he went back to Breeze-Gallas while Dubnyk was still here that I thought undermined Dubnyk's good play. So I don't get it. I don't know if it's because it's the GM that went out and signed this guy, so you got to give him lots of opportunity, or I'm not sure what it is. But the GM went out and traded for this new guy, and so give him every opportunity to earn it, because I'd say that the percentage chances of each of these guys being back next year,
zero.
I'd say Scrivens is like 60 to 80% more likely to be back here than Breeze-Gallas. He's not coming. I cannot imagine that Breeze-Gallas is coming back here, so why not see what the other guys got?
Won't get an argument from me.
Yeah.
Shocker, we'll talk to you later this week.
Okay, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight.